worthy. However, it gives me great, great pleasure to introduce Leo. Yeah. Is our main
speaker. I'm Leo, an alcoholic.
Leo.
I will alleviate any worries. I'll be done by 8, maybe a few minutes before. Okay, I want to start with this. Hey, I want to welcome Joey and Anthony and our visitor David and Daniel, 12 years. Who would have thought? Something I always like to start off with. If you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, you've just come in and all these steps and the traditions, what's all this stuff? I like to read this right away. And this is if you're new. And you come in and you really want the change. You want this. You see, we have something. I mean, we're not drinking or taking anything mind-altering. Some of us have natural eyes the rest of our life. So, how do you get it? Okay, most of us begin making certain kinds of direct amends from the day we join Alcoholics Anonymous. This is out of step 9. So this is just the beginning. And in step 12, some of us say, okay, this 12th step, I'm not ready to sponsor people yet. We have it going on here tonight. Okay, we can be the ones who take on the unspectacular but important tasks that make good 12-step work possible. Perhaps arranging for the coffee and cake after the meetings, where so many suspicious newcomers have found confidence and comfort in the laughter and talk. This is 12-step work in the very best sense of the word. Freely give, receive, freely give. And it goes up to the top about coffee and that. So, very important. I want to touch on a couple of things. These are a couple of notes I jotted from most recent events. I was able to go to Washington, D.C. about 6 weeks ago. And when I get into the start of my life story, you will see that this is God working a miracle. But I was in Washington, D.C., and I have a book that I mark in. It's a new big book, and I want to thank Bob and Cindy for, they came all the way from, driving back from San Francisco. I got this text, and they said, we're coming back from the Bay Area, we'll be there. And I go, man, most people, if they were found out I was even coming, they'd find a reason to get lost, you know? But, so I'm in Washington, D.C. One of the things there, I went to 3 meetings while I was there, and I just loved it. And I bring my little recovery bag with me. I love that. I love bringing my spiritual tools with me. I just do. There's a sense. And so in Washington, one of the things there at the end of the meeting that I really, it's like a movie I saw with Cuba Gooding Jr., this football movie, and they asked him, hey, do you want apple pie or the other pie? And he said, I want both. And so in this meeting, at the end of their meetings, they say 2 prayers. They say the Serenity Prayer and then the Lord's Prayer. I said, man, double dippers, cool. But then, you know, it just made my trip. I just love this stuff. And then most recently, I got a chance to go over to Folsom. My son, who I'll get into that if you can follow this, because I'm going to speed it up here pretty quick, guys, because you got to know I didn't do some recent stuff here. And then I talked to my sponsor on the way in, and I said, he's sober 51 years, and I call him. First thing I do, if you have a sponsor, try this sometimes. He answers the phone. I know the debate's going on and things, and I say, hey, Rick, do you have a minute? And he says, yes, let me go into the other room. Before some of us call our sponsor, before they even have a chance, they answer, and you go, oh my gosh, hey, guy taught me this. Ask if you have a minute. Okay, he had a minute. So he said, I said, Rick, I'm sharing tonight. And I said, I usually go into some of my little things like my hot dog, that. And he says, make it brief. I want you talking about the joy of living. So we're going to keep moving now. So I go to Folsom. My wife's a public health nurse. Been married 20 years, together 23, another miracle. So she goes over there. We're in the town of Folsom, outside of Sacramento, and I get on there. Where's the AA meetings? They were within walking distance from the hotel. So here's my point. I'm going to go. I look in there and a Monday night, 8 o'clock meeting. Big book study, right? Up in this church. I say, I'm going to go up to the big book study. I said, honey, I'll be back about 9:15, 9:30. She usually says, you don't have to hurry back. But she knows I love this stuff. So here's the thing. This is what I'm sharing with people. So I go up there. I'm glad I had my little recovery bag. I get in there, and it's a big book study. I come up. There's cars everywhere. I go, I'm probably at the wrong place. I come in. They had like six greeters. There was two guys and four girls. I remember, welcome, welcome, welcome. I go, oh, gosh. I get in there. There's like 150 people. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Big book study. Birthday night. First thing, the guy in front of me goes, hi, I'm so-and-so. Are you new to the area? I said, no, I'm over here visiting. Got nice to be here. He says, I come every Monday night. I drive 35 miles to be here for the big book study. And tonight it's extra packed because it's birthday night. And they read out of the big book and you go around. And I started a journey there that I noticed. And please, I'm talking a lot about recovery and we'll get to my story because this is what God does for me. If I'm paying attention. And not thinking about what I'm going to say if I'm called on. So this hit me. I was at the meeting, and they were reading about the family afterward. And it hit me. I was going, we. And I've started counting the we's. So on page 132, there's 18 times we mention we. On 133, 5 times. So I'm going through each page now when I studied and how many times it mentions we and what is the first word of our first step?
We.
So that just was so powerful. And the next meeting I went was on a 12 and 12 and I go there, oh, go to the 12 and 12 and I'm getting to it. And there was a couple gals there and they're into it, man, writing to GSO, writing their stories for the grapevine and the different things. And it just made me feel like Alcoholics Anonymous is alive and well, wherever we go, whatever we do. And in some of the greatest Alcoholics Anonymous is right here. And if you don't think you have the greatest home group in the world, you ought to get another one. Because I know I do. God has put me here and give something back to that. So, let me see. And the thing on the, I got to share this one part and then we're going to start with my story. The guy was sharing today, I really liked this guy this morning, 43 years sober, and I really followed his share. I was really powerful, and he was talking about those days of the groups and the different wines and everything. And those people he was talking about, I used to love Buddy Miles, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. You know, a lot of them died, you know, very young age. And then I had this one group, Blind Faith. And I remember my favorite song, I'm Wasted, and I Can't Find My Way Home. I mean, you know, that's where I was. Hey, we got there, right? Okay. So that's out of the way. So, grew up, I'm oldest of 5 boys. Sacramento, California. You know, it's pretty, we just grew up, we were boys fighting and playing sports and doing our deal and always had people over at the house. I was only a year older than my brother, Kelly, who he lives up in Paso Robles. He's the one where alcoholism skipped him. He actually just, stopped working after many years working in the wine industry. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. So I'm the oldest of 5. And then after 5 boys, can you imagine? They go to the barbershop. I can remember early on, my dad says, we're going to the barbershop. We're going out to the barber college. It only is going to cost a dollar each because, hey. And we all go, okay. But I always remember, we never had to go back to the barber college after my one brother, they nicked his ear. And it looked like somebody had chopped his ear off. We never had to go back to the barber college because there was blood everywhere. But there was 5 boys. I mean, just the thought of raising 5 boys. So, you know, sports always had some people over at the house and that, and, you know, it was 17, and this is where the little shirt, the first time I ever drank, I drank Ripple wine. I couldn't even smell it to this day. I would probably vomit. If somebody opened one up, there'd be the regurgitation going on. So I started off there, and boy, I got on the fast lane quick. And I don't mention a lot of other substances, but I was a garbage can, and I had an uncle that I thought was one of my heroes. You know, he could get anything in big, large quantities. So by the time I'm 18 years old, I get going real quick. They had these things called the Bennies and the Fender Benders and Skunky Bud. And, you know, people talk about it, and sometimes they think I don't know what's going on. You know, back in those days, we used to have contests. The most, the supercharge contest. I don't know if you know what a supercharge is. It's like, you know, I have the gas mask. You blow the smoke, and I had a record of 13 seconds. So what I'm trying to tell you is, oh, so what? Or, you know, hey, take this, Gregory. It's a new stuff out. It's they call it Orange Sunshine. We're gonna put a few in the wine bottle and we're gonna play some shots. Oh, sounds like fun. Yeah. Well, that's the way I got into it really quickly. And before you knew it, it escalated to the point where I was addicted to both uppers and downers. And I bring that up because I'm an alcoholic. And the first geographic is my parents. I'm 19 years old. They moved from Sacramento and bring us all here to Santa Maria. I come here and it was like coming off the freeways of LA and coming where they're riding cows down the street. I mean, it was like, what is this? My gosh, bring me here. And and in the meantime, I'm gonna speed it up. Now you gotta stay with me. So we move here, I'm 19 years old. They're pretty much, I get off of that stuff, right? Get off of the, man. And by this time, I was one of those guys that I had left, and someone there was going to have a baby. So, took a little time, but I said, I need to go back and do the right thing and get married. So I looked out there, 13 months old, and there's Toby, and I'm getting married. So, you know, get married. And she's a wonderful woman. We can speak to this day. You know, she's has one of my grandchildren that lives with her. Well, so this went on. I'm an alcoholic. And in Sacramento, this is what I got to get to real quick. Back then, if you went out drinking and things and they pulled you over, they just say, hey, you need to come over and have somebody pick you up. It's not like it's now today. You're going to jail. But I was in the fast lane. I had two cousins that I drank with. They were Johnny Ray and David. Johnny Ray, and I only mention this, please, not to make fun, but if you look at him, you see the bobblehead dolls where you go to these ball games, wherever you get the ball. He goes like this, and you got to turn away after a little bit. It's like, he's like this. Because he's taken so much dope and so much stuff. And the other cousin, David, he killed himself. So these are my road dogs, right? And let me tell you how. I had a home. I'm married. My wife worked for the state. I managed a restaurant. And they would talk. They'd get a couple drinks in me, and they'd say, we're going out drinking, you know. And they talked me into things like this. Hey, you know gas is pretty expensive, right? And I think gas was 50 cents a gallon, right? They said, hey, we know what, let me show you. We can save you, what, $6-7? They taught me how to siphon gas. I remember they go, you cut the little holes, and you go up to the truck, and you go like this, and then you put it in the can. Well, you know, that's thievery, right? But one time I came into work the next day, and the guy says, you smell like gas. I said, oh my gosh, I didn't tell him I was out siphoning gas the night before because I was going to save $5. I'm the boss and I smell like gas. Then they talked me in. I got to tell you another one. This is, I always remember, two drunk, three drunk logs and we're done, guys. I remember we're out drinking the Puerto Rican rum, me and my two buddies. I have a car and these guys, you know, I have a home, a wife, and a child, and I'm out drinking. I'm just a horrible husband. I'm an alcoholic. A practicing alcoholic, and I can remember falling flat on my face, and there was gravel there, and they helped me up, and I said, hey, do I look okay, Kevin? Go, oh, yeah, you're fine. You look good. Yeah, you're good. I get home, and it looked like somebody had paved me with, I had rocks all over. I looked like I was ready to be paved. I didn't, and I can still remember this day. I had to go in my wife's sleep, and I said, I think I need to go to the hospital, you know? And she took me to the hospital. I always remember they took a brush. I think that nurse was, oh, there was some. She liked, I think she enjoyed digging all those rocks out. Oh, I'm one of these. I'm going to go to work. I go to work the next day, I look like the mummy. They said, oh, what happened? Oh, my gosh. But it got a lot worse from there. So then it started the geographic. So I'm in Sacramento. There's Toby now, and there's Stacy. And I take a job here at Williams Brothers Market, 77. I was working a market there. I said, look, if I get away from my cousins and these people, I'm going to straighten my act up. Really good. I'm going to be good. Get away from those people. They're doing it to me. I get over here, and guess what? My alcoholism came with me. My ex-wife, she was a lot sharper than I gave her credit for. She didn't come. She was probably saying, I got rid of his ass. But so I'm over here, and here it was different. Santa Maria is like cowpoke country, you know. They actually, I got a DUI. They arrested me for driving intoxicated, and I got arrested. And I can remember, I'm a pretty smart fellow, right? I go to court, and they say, if you go to the SMART program, this is how smart I am, they'll take it off your record. It's like getting a ticket now. And I go, I thought about, I said, do I have to go? And they go, no, but it'll go on your record and your insurance will go up. I said, that's okay. Because I thought they were going to make me stop drinking. That's the only way I knew how to live. That's my point, guys. That was my life. Now, the second one, I had to go to the SMART program. And my alcoholism progressed to a point where back then they just put you on night crew. It would be like a lot of you guys I would have met on night crew. In other words, you ain't going to be around the customers. You work all night. But, you know, it just escalated to the point where, you know, I'm drinking daily. My hangout was like the playroom bar from 9 to 10. I think it's O'Sullivan's now. At 9 to 10, you could get 15-cent beers. I was a chronic alcoholic. They finally got me out of Williams Brothers. It was a union job, great job. I was really being prepped for management. And, you know, but it was progressing fast. I couldn't go an hour. I remember when they had me on day shift, you had an hour for lunch. I remember them calling me in, they'd say, Jack, meaning Reed, you get a half hour for lunch, Jack. And you're thinking, why do I get a half hour? Well, basically, they didn't tell me, because during that hour, you come back pretty toasted, you know, like happy hour. You know, I thought they let me out of the store for an hour. What do? I just partied, you know. I drown about 4 or 5 beers and do something. I'd come back and I'd be at the check stand. Billy'd come through. I'd say, Billy, do you know how much these tomatoes are? I was the type, they'd send me back to the milk box. Go fill the milk, Leo. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, oh, my time. Oh, whoop. Leo, check, please. I go, whoop. Come back and I didn't know. I just did not know a way of living without something mind-altering. I was the worst employee possible. I mean, I remember one time when they put me on night crew and they found a big bag behind this pancake mix. Nobody bought this pancake mix. It was 50 pounds. I don't even know why I had it there. And they had a big bag of this stuff. I guess during the night I get thirsty sometimes and put the stuff back there. And I remember they said, this is found on your aisle. They dropped me up to the office, and I remember telling them, oh, I've always had suspicions about customers coming in. And they looked at me like, who thought you were doing? Me? Oh, my God. But I did, with my steps, I did go back and make amends, but I got to move this along. So they were able to get rid of me, and my alcoholism then totally progressed because I had no job to go to. My hangout was the playroom bar, 9 to 10. I had some guys that I hung out with that were just like me. You know, we drank and used from the day when eyes opened until we went to bed. That was my life. I started out renting a room for my buddy Russ over here. I'm Ben Wiley. I used to work with him at Williams Brothers. And pretty soon, I remember they had me go out to the garage. I was living in the garage. I'm a garage man. I like that garage. Well, this is the story. This is the last drunkalog, and I'm moving on, guys. Now listen. So I'm drinking daily. Daily drinker, playroom bar, 9 to 10, 15-cent beers. You get there. And I remember this. The lady that 12-stepped me was the bartender there. And I remember her telling me, you guys ought to go to AA, me and my buddies. And I'm thinking, why are you telling? We're big spenders here. Sometimes we leave a quarter tip, you know? So 9 to 10, 15-cent beers, and 3 minutes to 10, you could get a beer and 3 cups. So 60 cents, that's four beers. Sometimes it would go past 10 and she wouldn't tell us. It'd be 10:05, we'd go, "You didn't tell us, Nancy. It's 50 cents now." And I know she did it on purpose. But, you know, the thing about it is she said about, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. But it got so bad, I remember one time they told me, and here's the story, guys. They go, "We have a brilliant idea. We're going to barbecue at Waller Park." Okay. Let's go. I had a Volkswagen, a little Volkswagen that, you know, it smelled like puke. It was horrible. And they got in the car. We drive over. "Oh, stop at Circle K. Circle K. And these guys were supposedly my friends. I went in. This is no kidding. They told me afterwards. I said, "Oh, man." They got whatever. And there was, they said I got 2 packs of hot dogs. Seriously. 8 packs. And I put them in my back pocket. Fit in there perfectly. And I don't remember it. Just like, whoop. And I, you know, I bite. And I go up and they go, they said, I don't remember, "Are you going to pay for," I don't know if they said hot dogs or whatever, "are you going to pay?" And they said, I said very calmly, "No, not at this time." I said, "Well, you realize that I'm pretty easy to recognize. I was about 230 pounds. I was all bloated. You could smell me. If you were on the aisle over, you'd be going, what the hell is that?" But took the license number down. I get this thing. They track me down. I have to go to court, petty theft. I remember going in front of the judge. They go, "Called the case, Mr. Batson, petty theft." I don't even know if they said hot dogs or whatever. I go, "Oh, this is not going to be shit. You know, I stole 2 packs of hot dogs. What you going to do?" And they go, "Oh, Mr. Batson has a prior petty theft. I've been busted 6 years before with my 2 cousins that talked me into putting a ladder in the back of the car. You know how you put your windows down?" They said, "Stop, Leo, stop." I said, "Stop for what?" "Got a ladder. Somebody followed me and took my..." So I'm like, "Prior petty theft." "Oh, that's prior petty theft. Oh, two offenses." They give me 90 days. I said, "You got me 90 days? I said, Your Honor.
Your Honor,
I have to get my business affairs." I said, "June 25th, 1982, be here at 8 o'clock. Is it going to be 20 minutes to 8? I will end at 8, 19 minutes. And I remember I had 2-3 weeks, and I'd go to the bar, and I'd go everywhere, and I'd be telling people, "I got to go to jail June 25th. Oh, man. 8 o'clock, 90 days. Oh, shit." And then I think most people were glad I was going. But we got to the date. Here's the thing. Now, here it is. This day, I'll always remember it. June 25th, 1982. I remember Russ coming to me. Actually, it was his wife. He couldn't do it. He went and hid. And she said, "Leo, when you get out of jail," because I said, "I'll be back in 60 days. Good time, work time." She said, "When you get out of jail, we'd rather you don't come back." So I started out. I got trying to get to jail. I go out to my brother Ken's house. All my belongings in a Volkswagen. That's it. I had a suit, a couple of things I sold, and I'm sitting out there. Gets to be about 5 o'clock. I go, "Man, I need a drink bad. I got to go to jail at 8, and Ken's going to drive me, right? Ken's supposed to drive me. Your job is to get me to jail at 8 o'clock. That's your job." Okay. Gets to be about 5:15, 5:30. I said, "Ken, I'm just going to have one drink, man. I'm really feeling bad." So I have a few drinks. I don't feel so bad no more. Going to jail, be out 60 days. You keep track of my Volkswagen. It gets to be about this time, and I go, we go out there, I say, "Ken, I'll drive." He told me later, and he says, "Okay." He told me, "I started drinking too, I didn't want to tell you." And I said, so I go about 2 blocks, I know they were waiting for me. They say they weren't. 2 blocks, they pull me over. I got a drunk driving on my way to jail. So, oh man, hell yeah. Then I remember going to court. I remember the judge looking at me like this. They go, "I thought we sentenced Mr. Batson." I can remember to this everything, and they go like this. They go, "No, Your Honor," loud. "No, Your Honor, Mr. Batson got a DU or drunk driving on his way to jail." I know it's about that loud. And that judge looked at me. Oh, man. 3rd drunk driving, 4 months. automatic 120 days. So I go into jail. Point is I went in there. I was very sick. They would bring this in there, H&I would come in. I didn't go to the meeting, so I saw that they would bring it in. Even the guys in there, you talk about the word was lops. You know, you're lop, go to meetings. Well, I got out of jail September 15th, 1982, and here's the thing, I'm getting to it. First thing I did, I wasn't shaking anymore, wasn't that? I drank 2 Colt 45s. September 16th, half pint of Seagram 7. I came in the program September 17th, 1982, Friday noon meeting. They were reading out of this book and talking. And I met my first sponsor, Smokey, was here, and a few others. And I tell you what, I got active. I started out living in my brother's garage, Ken, out there. I'm a garage man. So I started getting real active in the program. I was on a bicycle for 3 years. I was the most unhealthy person. I probably couldn't have walked down here to the corner. So I started riding this bike for 3 years. I rode a bike for 3 years. And I remember moving down here to the Grayson Hotel. There used to be the post office Grayson Hotel. And I was very active in the program. They didn't have the meetings you have today. We had the speaker meetings, always been here. Very active, would do odd jobs from loading roofs to working at Grand Auto. I'd find things to do. And that second year, I'm living next to my sponsor. I've moved up in the world. I got a little apartment over on Sunset. And I went out 3, 4, 5 times. And I took a 2-year cake. Like, I can remember coming up here, yay! It was a horrible feeling. I knew pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. How are you like to be sitting amongst your fellows and you're not sober? You're claiming you're sober, but you're not. So that went on for till August 3rd, and I was sitting right back where Raymond is, next to a guy named Roger. I said, Roger, I'm not sober. Changed my date, August 4th, 1985, never went back. So my sobriety date's August 4th, 85. I've been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous since September 17th, 1982, because I say so. I've been in this fellowship for over 34 years. My sobriety date is continuous over 31. I really got busy then and dug deeper, really deep on that fourth and fifth. I really had I know I'd left some things out. I did my first fourth and fifth with the priest over here at St. Mary's. He just got out of the seminary. I think by the time I was done, it looked like his hair was on fire. It's like, I think he was used to somebody saying, I said shit 4 times? Oh, sorry, this being taped. I was gossiping about my cousin Ricky, and you know what? I threw dog poo-poo on my neighbor's lawn on purpose. But me, by the time I got done, it was like, holy mackerel. I was like, I had caused a lot of harm. This is where the steps come in. I was able, and this is going to get into my children. My son would not speak to me the first 5 years of the program. First 5, I mean. And it took time. Now we're close. I mean, I went over there. His boss, and he works at Folsom Prison, they came and picked me up in the car. Took me over to the Folsom Prison, over to the women's, and acted like I was some important person. She kept calling me Mr. Batson. I was thinking to myself, I could have ended up in Folsom Prison, you know? So this is where my life has changed. And you know, I try to share this with people coming in. Yes, it takes work. It's all about the work. But if you get someone that's willing to work with you, And let's get into working these steps right now. This is how you do it. You go to your 12 and 12. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. I have people, you write out 3 events. I told you a few. My sponsor, Get to Know Me, said write about a couple at early on, middle, and at the end. Okay, let's get this on paper. Read it. Have them read something out of here. Then we hold hands. And I share some of my things. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And I usually say some prayer. I never know what I'm going to say. I say, God, will you help us to do this step properly, and that I have passed on the information that has been passed on to me so that Joe understands this. Okay. And we go each step that way. And then you get to 4 step. You're already used to writing, right? And I still do it. Write down the first 4 things you swore you wouldn't tell me. If you need to talk to a therapist, a priest, whatever, but we've got to dig. And then it's resentments, fear sexual inventory. It tells us in here we all have sex problems. We all have fear. We have it. I'm a firm believer. It's my opinion, but I believe the steps are first three, you get right with God. And you'll hear people in meetings, and you'll hear it from any day after this, is I'm having trouble with the four step. Well, we got to go back to step three, because God, the steps are loving and kind. Let's get right with God. Okay, 4 through 7, you get right with Jim, with love, with Darlene. Get right with yourself. We all have defects. We go through those first. Then I believe some of the steps that are really the strong meat and potatoes are 8 and 9, these relationships. A new list is written. A new list. It tells us in our 12 and 12, we make a new list. Before it say we refer to the old list, a new list. Maybe you have Aunt Juanita, who you just haven't talked to her for years, or haven't even said, how are you, or that. Hey, you put her down there and you call your Aunt Juanita, not Facebook. Hey, Aunt Juanita, it's Leo. And then the ninth step, direct. I do believe in direct amends unless it will harm others. I had to go back and make my amends at Williams Brothers. I had amends to make. I had written bad checks. I had everything. I owed back child support. I owed income tax. It says we do not fear our creditors. We're quite sure to drink. I told my sponsor, I said, man, I owe all kinds of shit. He says, put it down. Oh, man. And I did. And I called him up, and then, I made arrangements. I remember with the state franchise, they said, you can make payments. I said, I didn't know I could make payments. Okay. So, made payments. Then we talk about 10, 11, and 12. These really are our maintenance steps. Some people will say, they're not, but they are, because 10, we still get resentments. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear when they crop up. Ask God at once to remove them. A couple hours ago, I think I had a little bit of fear coming up about, hey, share my experience, strength, and hope, and I just ask God to remove it. He wants me to be of service. I know God's will for Leo is to be as active as I possibly can in Alcoholics Anonymous and give this thing away. And then the traditions. I'm a firm believer in the traditions. Guys that I sponsor, we go through the traditions one at a time. If you have years of sobriety, we usually do them at the same time. We're moving it along. Move it along. And I want them to get on and sponsor others. And then we have our concepts for service. I want to read it. You know where it says that sometimes we do not regret the past? I have to tell you, I do have a couple regrets. I'm the oldest of 5 boys. I have a brother, Keith, that's dead. 36 years old. He worshipped his big brother, Leo, who, like my uncle, had these so-called, I don't like the word, but new people that could get things. And he got onto that fast lane. And he was dead at 36. And, I feel sometimes that I have to keep giving back. And then my brother Brian, 6 years ago, he was sober 16 years, died in Lompoc. And most people know my brother Ken. He actually is my brother. I hung out with him for hours yesterday. His sobriety date's 31 years in March. So I wasn't a very, I feel like I wasn't a good brother, because the alcoholism took me to places I never thought I'd go. So now I try to be a good brother. I try to be a good husband. A father to my children. I have grandchildren now that never seen me drink or use. And you know, my alcoholism is, I believe that it's either being treated or untreated. A form of treatment right now at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Sharing my experience, strength, and hope. You might say, what is untreated alcoholism? Well, stop going to meetings, stop praying, stop talking to your sponsor. Get into the old behavior, defects of character. So I stay pretty close to this day. I'm one of these, you'll hear the term meeting makers make it, and they do, along with working a program. Mm-hmm. Working a program. And I'll tell you one of the biggest things, I'll read 2 more things. God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. I believe it, And I believe what it says in this book, that we have recovered and been given the power to help others. Why would a person that I just shared with you that couldn't make it a few hours and gets arrested for drunk driving on their way to jail because they cannot think about not drinking? And let me tell you what real alcoholism at the very end. I can remember, and I'm going to share this. I was inside jail, and they said they might be able to get some booze in there. And I was first one in line. I would have done that. It's like my son tells me at Folsom Prison, the number one thing that gets in there, phones, and then cigarettes, number two. Number three, drugs, and he says they're always making the pruno. So, I mean, you can, wherever you are, always finding a way to get out of self. And so I try to deal with it, and let me get onto the daily program. We got about 3-4 minutes. I want to read this on, and I look around this room tonight, and I feel this. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. I feel that most of the time. When I come into a meeting, I go like this. And for a guy, I had 3 years on that bicycle, and now I do a lot of driving with the business I'm in, and I go different places, and I go to meetings. I was at a meeting in San Luis Obispo the other day, and the lady was visiting. She had 9 years and visiting and going to a meeting. I feel God there. Tonight, I really felt this presence. And you, if you stay here long enough and have sponsors that died, I've had Smokey that's died. Barry died. My sponsor, Pete, died out of Morro Bay. I felt almost the presence of Smokey. I remember my first time going to speak, and he is my sponsor. I think he was more nervous than I was. I said, "What's going on with you, man?" He was pacing. I said, "Hey, it's going to be okay." I was like his kid, you know. The guy, he loved me. He loved me till I could learn to love myself and give back. So if you're new here, what I really wanted to bring is some laughter to you and let you know there's a lot of misery that happens and that we harm others. But we have steps and traditions where we can go back, clear it up. Now my children want to see me. People want to be around Leo. I have this aura. I meet with business owners most of the time, and they don't know what I have. But, you know, they say, "You're happy all the time." I don't say, "Yeah, I got up and I prayed and meditated and I read my daily reflections. I asked God to direct my thinking, free me from self-pity, self-seeking motives. Had a sponsee call me, and I got to go to a morning meeting before I saw you." No. I say, "Hey, isn't it wonderful to live on the Central Coast? I looked in the obituaries this morning, and I wasn't in there." They go, "Oh, yeah, yeah." But they don't know. I'm happy, joyous, and free. I'm an alcoholic that has a way out. And one thing, I'll close with this. My sponsor's sober 51 years. I always have a sponsor. And he always tells me, he said, "Leo, this program works. There's one thing. We don't like four-letter words, but," he says, "we have to do the work. There's work involved. But we have somebody to help us do the work, to dig and to be there and to share these secrets. We're only as sick as our secrets." And if you have secrets, all of us come in here. And I beg that anybody that tells me they come in, there's not a few things they want to keep till the day they take the dirt nap, I have to disagree. I believe that we have that. This year, I tell you what, I had to get a defibrillator pacemaker put in. And I remember... And I tell some of my people, I said, "Man, I almost took the dirt nap this year." They go, "The dirt nap?" I said, "That's when they shoveled on you." But even my doctor, he said, see me this week, he says, "Man, I wish everybody had a type of attitude you have." I didn't tell him, "Doc, I got up and I prayed and meditated. I asked for a direction. I did all that." I said, "Isn't it a wonderful life? I'm going to live each day like it's my last, doctor. That's the way I roll, man." And I remember when they were getting ready to go do the surgery, I had this Dr. Harrison. I like this guy. And I said, "Doctor, I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things for me." And he says, "What's that?" I said, "The night before you come in and do this surgery, I want to make sure you Get to bed early. Make sure you get up early. Eat ready to go. Ask God to help you. And I'll be here. He says, sounds like a plan. But that's the way I live the same way out there as I hear. And I'll go home tonight. God's blessed me. I live in a nice place. I love where I live. I mean, I was driving over here, the deer sitting right down at the corner there chomping on something, and I say, hey, see you later. I know what it's like to live in the garage and the Grayson Hotel down here, guys. $25 a week, and then I remember sharing at a meeting. Last thing I'm gonna share. Always remember this. I'm at a meeting. Lady has a beautiful home out in Lake Marie and that, and I said, man, I'm grateful. I get to move to the $30 a week room. And she says, well, what's so good about that? I said, I have my own bathroom. She says, how can you be grateful for that? I said, if you had to share a bathroom with five other people, wouldn't you be grateful? And she looked like, hey, I tell you, be grateful for the little things. I thank God all the time. I say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. And the last thing, very last thing, if your God bag, if you have something that's bothering you, get a little bag. Put it in there. Put a little pressure on him. Say, thank you, God, for this job that I'm about to receive. You haven't even, hey, it's like he's going to say, well, you're already pushing me for that job. And you just tell him, I'm going to do the legwork. Get out there and get the work done. That's it, guys. 8 o'clock.
Give Leo a